Hallelujah. This morning we'll move quickly. Hallelujah. All right, now we want to talk this morning very quickly about being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. The local church, Brother Higgin, Kenneth E. Higgin, would always say, what is God doing in these last days? He said he's building strong local churches. Strong local churches who are built on the Word, like we are here. And he says, and also full of the Holy Ghost, who learn how to be led by the Spirit and flow with the Spirit. I'll take it again. What is God doing? Now, he's building strong local churches who are full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost and are learning how to be led by the Spirit and how to flow with the Spirit. Now in Luke 24, you notice that in verse 25 through to 27, like I said the other day, when you start reading, you think Dr. Damina wrote it. And he came and said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Just like Brother Higgin wrote Mark 11, 23 and 24. Should have just wrote Kenneth Higgin 11, 23 and 24. Oh, you know this kind of joke, some people will take it out of context. They'll just go and post it. See this one again. Eh? He's saying Kenneth Higgin wrote the book of Mark. Are we not in the last days? Yes, you are in the last days. You know, very funny. Luke 24, 25. He says, oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses 27, and all the prophets he expounded, which is the word damenio, to interpret in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In 44, he came and spake to them, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you. Verse 44, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So no doubt, Jesus taught them in the, you know, last 40 days. In Acts 1, 2, and 3, Luke tells us that Jesus, you know, showed them after many infallible proofs that he was alive, and then he gave commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, and then he had spoken to them the things concerning the kingdom, you know, pertaining to the kingdom. Acts 1, 2, and 3. So he definitely taught them. And you could see that the church was full of teaching of the word. Acts 2, 42. When the new people got born again, Acts 2:41 said 3,000 were baptized. Glad they received the word, sorry, and were baptized. About 3,000 of them. Verse 42, Acts 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship. So there was teaching going on. Acts 5:42, they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus from the temple and house to house. So there was teaching going on. A lot of teaching. They were taught and taught. In fact, the word disciple is from teaching, those who are taught. So definitely, Jesus envisaged, planned, proposed a church where we are fed the word of God. Where we are fed the word of God. Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul says, I did not keep back anything that was profitable unto you, but I taught you from house to house and publicly. So in verse 28, he says, take it therefore to yourselves, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God which has purchased with the blood of his own. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. In 1 Timothy 3:2, one of the qualifications of a bishop is one who is apt to teach. In 2 Timothy 2:24, he also talked about the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. So definitely, the church is where we are taught the word, and we are full of the word. But another important fact was that when Jesus rose from the dead, you know, he also gave an instruction to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we won't see the word readily all the time. We're going to rely on something. Now, in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verse 18 through to 20, we saw that Jesus said, then all authority in heaven and earth is given me. Verse 19, Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or better still, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always at the end of the age. So no doubt, you know, he sent them to go and teach, and we saw that. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Then it says they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. After he has said these things to them, Mark says, he ascended up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then in verse 20, he says, and they therefore went everywhere, preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So we see that there were signs to what they were preaching. In Luke 24:47, he said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then it says in 48, you are witnesses unto these things. However, in Luke 24:49, he now said something else that we didn't see in Matthew, Mark very clearly. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So there was something he said to them that they ought to receive. Power from on high. Luke 24:49. To be endued with power from on high. That is, now, the Greek word endued, there is the word enduo. I remember one of the classical understandings I got from it was from Reverend Chris Okotie. He said that, and I saw it and I confirmed it, that it's like somebody who is totally changed in his appearance. Where, in fact, the illustration he used was that somebody in ancient Greek, a girl wants to go and toast a guy. Sorry. That's a word of knowledge, I think. A girl wants to go and toast a guy. Is that you? The way it came out, I didn't expect it to come. Maybe it's inspirational. A guy wants to go and toast a girl. So he wants to present himself in a way that she will accept him. That he will go to a fellow who now puts a spell of a sort on him. He will now do unimaginable things. The girl will just say, I like you. You know, basically that's what the enduo is. To literally wear another garment. To wear into something. For something to be put on you that changes your coloration totally. And that's pretty true. So that word is similar to the word baptism. Baptism also means to immerse into. To also wear. You know, Galatians 3:27 says we have been baptized into Christ and are put on. Interestingly, the word put on there is enduo. We are put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. So that means that in the mind of Luke, that word enduo is also the word baptized. So, but you see, the person that was clearest, as it were, on what Jesus told them, you know, towards his death and resurrection was John. John, in fact, right from John 3:3, John had more commentaries about the Spirit than any of the other three. In John 3:3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 3:5, verily I say unto you, except a man is born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. In John 4, verse 10, if thou knew the gift of God and he that speaks to you, you know, you'll have asked of him, he'll have given you living water. Then the woman began to ask the question. And then verse 13, it says, if you drink of this water, you thirst again. But if you drink of the water I shall give in you, you shall have in you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. In John and 7 and 36 and 37, it says, the great day, last day, great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, he that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, verse 39, which those that believe on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So John really had things around the Spirit. Whatever he called life was the Spirit. Whatever, in fact, John 6:63, he said, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So the life of God and the Spirit of God are synonymous terms. Life and Spirit. They are Spirit and they are life. What he called everlasting life, he called rivers of living water. And John 7:39 calls the Holy Ghost. Are we clear? Good. Now, for in John 14, there was now something clearer. He says in 16, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it heareth him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. So he definitely spoke about the Spirit. In 26, he says, the comforter, which the Father shall send in my name. He said, he will teach you of all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things I've said to you. In John 15:26, he says, the comforter, the spirit that proceeds forth from the Father, he says he will guide him to all truth and say all that. In John 16:7, he said, if I don't go, he will not come. He said, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he is come, verse 8, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In verse 12, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. So, which means that John gave us a lot of commentary about the spirit. The first thing he told us, the spirit is going to abide in us. Then he now says that the spirit will now teach. The spirit will now show. So there was an explicit work of the spirit from John 14 through to John 16. We have a very explicit, very elaborate explanation on the work of the spirit. However, Luke was a bit more directional. Now, Luke is like the part one of the book of Acts. If you look at Luke 1:3, he wrote it to Theophilus. Acts 1:1, he was also Theophilus. So the book of Luke is the A part of the book of Acts. So many times it's good to read both of them together. You see similar things in the two books. You see that in the book of Luke, Luke was clear that Jesus was acquitted both by Pilate and by Herod. In the book of Acts, Paul also was acquitted the same way, that he did nothing wrong. So it's like a piece put together. So Luke, in Luke 24, and 49, when he said that, I've sent the promise of my Father upon you. Notice in Acts 1:4 and 5:2, he said the same thing. You know, John indeed baptized with water. Not many days later, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:5. Say, wait verse 4 for the promise of my Father. So whatever he called the promise of the Father in Luke 24:49, he said it again in Acts 1:4 and 5. Now in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come on you, upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So whatever he said was the promise of the Father in Luke 24:49, in Acts 1:4 and 5, is what he now explained in Acts 1:8. Let me show you if I follow what I'm saying here. Am I being clear? Good. So he spoke about the promise of the Father, which, he says, the Spirit will come upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, which we can all agree was the fulfillment of what he said. So now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Verse 2 says, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were seated. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, upon each of them. Then verse 4 says, and they began to speak with tongues, and were filled with the Holy Ghost, pardon me, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, of course, much later, when Peter was going to explain that experience, Acts 2:16, he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose, this is for the third hour of the day. Then he says, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, Acts 2:16 and 17. In the last day, he said, God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon your servants and your handmaidens and those who are part of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So, Peter goes back to Acts 2:28 to explain what just happened. So within Luke and Acts, we can understand what has gone on. Acts 2:4 says they were filled with the Spirit. That phrase didn't start with Acts 2:4. The word filled. Now, if you backtrack a bit to the Old Testament, you will see something in Genesis 1. So I'll explain the word filled in a moment. Genesis 1 and 26, when it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let him have dominion and all that. 28 now says, God bless them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Then it says, feel. That word feel is not the first time, however, but it's the first time referring to man. Feel. Take dominion, subdue the land, feel. That word is the Hebrew word M-A-L-E, male or M-A-L-E. Now, its use consists, notice what it says, fill. Now, the way we are here, if every seat, if everybody sits on every seat in this auditorium, we have still not filled this place. If we sit in every space, right on the ground floor, we have still not filled the place. It is when every space, there is nothing, such that this building takes the identity of what is inside, then it is filled. So if it is filled, it means that whatever fills something is the identity. So anybody outside will not see the building. They will see what filled it. That's the word filled. Such that in Numbers 14:21, when the nation of Israel, as it were, a good number of them turned their backs on God, he said, as I live, the earth shall be filled with my glory. As I live. The earth, that means that what you will see in the earth is what? My glory. Are we together? It's the same word, filled. Now you see it also used in different other instances where you see, you have Habakkuk 2:14. The knowledge of shall fill the earth as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:6, 7, 8 also says, he filled with his glory. Isaiah 6:3, the whole earth is full of your glory. You see, the prophets use this so many times. Filled. Filled means that it will be overrun by it. It will be overtaken by it. Such that the identity of it, right, will be what is inside it. So if something is filled, it is outsiders that will tell. Because they will see. Filled, therefore, is what now becomes his identity. What we will now see it as. That's the word filled. So, being filled, or anything being filled, must be seen. It must be seen. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness, that's the same word. The fullness, Psalm 72, I believe that should be verse 16 or 17. It says, the earth is filled, full of his glory. So, full means that everything about that particular place has the glory of God. So when you say filled, it's what we are going to see about whatever it is that is being filled. Remember we said the local church is built on the word, right? Full of the word, full of the spirit. Now, Jesus now said that the work of the spirit is to make obvious what Christ has done. Let's put a summary like that. It's to make obvious by teaching, by showing, by manifestations. So, we can therefore say, like Reverend Mark Hankins would say, he said that the Holy Spirit is given to us to take the things that Jesus has done and make it our everyday experience. I'll take it again. The Holy Spirit is given to us to take the things that Jesus has done in what we call the finished work and now put it in our everyday experience. God doesn't want us to just have an head knowledge. Oh, I'm righteous. Oh, and that's all to it. That there will be a fruit to it. There will be actions to it. There will be something, things we can see. So, if you are filled with something, we are going to see it. Whatever you are filled with, people are going to see it. Now, that same word filled, interestingly, will be used for things like, and the land was filled. Let me give you one very simple. In Genesis chapter 6, he said the earth was filled with violence. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Which shows that people there were just doing, that means the majority, the influence of the earth was wickedness. Was wickedness. You will find many instances in the book of Acts said the people were filled with indignation. Now, how do you know they were filled? Is by what they did. So, being filled is something that will be obvious. Let's put it like this. It's a third party that will see it. So, if you are filled with something, we will see it. We definitely will know it. It's not a confession. Even though you can say it in the Word of God, I'm filled with God's Spirit. But when we say I'm filled, we are going to see it. So when he said, so let's take that again. Being filled is something that is seen. Remember I said that it overwhelms the container, that the outsider, the third party, will see it. Being filled. Being full of. Being filled. So when Luke says in Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, he didn't say we were filled. They were filled. Which is something that was seen by others. They were filled. So if Brother Hagin says that the church, and it's the Word of God, if he says that the church, now some people don't like me say somebody says something. Say because don't be quoting men, be quoting God's Word. The Bible is not men that wrote it. Don't you say Paul said, it's Paul, did Paul die for your sins? So say, my pastor said, when you say, doctor said, don't quote doctor, quote the Bible. Okay, I'll now say, Moses said. So I'll complicate your ignorance. So, Acts 2:4, when it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what did he mean? Now, that statement is so overwhelming, you can't miss it. In Luke 1:15, it says, talk about John the Baptist. He said he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, the Greek word he used there is what pletho. P-L-E-T-H-O. Now, there are two words, that three words really, they are synonymous. One of them is pletho. P-L-E-T-H-O. Then we have pleris. P-L-E-R-E-S. Then we have plero. P-L-E-R-O-O. Now, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero is usually used for fulfilled. When something is fulfilled. Now, fulfilled means it has gotten to its capacity. Fulfilled. Then pletho means it has been overwhelmed. It has been overwhelmed. P-L-E-T-H-O. Then you now have pleris. P-L-E-R-E-S. Now, a bit of similarity to the first two, pletho. But in this instance, it's like an ongoing thing. An ongoing thing. So you have pletho. P-L-E-T-H-O. Pleris, P-L-E-R-E-S, and plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. They are similar words. It's like saying big, mighty, large. You are just saying the same thing. It's just the descriptions that are different. Now, it says John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Then in Luke 1:40, when Elizabeth and Mary met, you know, Mary was yet to say much to Elizabeth, you know, and she saw her. Scripture says that Elizabeth, being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost, said. So Elizabeth was full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Luke 1:67-68, it says again that Zechariah, full of the Holy Ghost. Zechariah, full of the Holy Ghost, said. In Luke 4:1. So the first three I gave is plepho, P-L-E-T-H-O. In Luke 4:1, he said that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, being full, now the word there is pleris, P-L-E-R-E-S, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit of the wilderness, tender of the devil. You know that story. So something is very obvious that around the incarnation, the people that God was using to accomplish his task were full of the Spirit. Around the incarnation, when Jesus, God, became flesh, the events around it, the announcements, the activities were full of the Spirit. Which means that those men literally were yielded to God's Spirit. We saw God, as his method was, you know, walking through people. And when he was doing it, people saw it. Elizabeth, Zechariah, Jesus himself, in Luke 4:1. Because we speak about Mary. Because Mary herself, she began to speak. We'll see that as we go further. Now, upon the resurrection, which is similar to the incarnation, a similar thing is seen. they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:4. And spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that wasn't a one-time event. Because that same phrase you will see throughout the book of Acts. Acts 4, verse 8. Peter was filled with the Spirit. Then he spoke, referring to the elders, he answered them. Acts 4:8. In Acts 4:30, remember when they prayed, they were threatened, they returned to their own company, Acts 4:23 and 24, and lifted up their voice in one accord. Then they prayed. Acts 4:30 says, the place where they were prayed was shaken together. It was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, they were filled in Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, if you are paying attention, something consistent about the record of being filled with the Spirit is what? Is what? Speaking. Good. Acts 4:30, 30 and 31. Now, in Acts 6, so you will know that it's not a one-time experience. You know, when they went to complain to the apostles that the widows were being neglected in daily ministration, Acts 6:1. Then the apostles, they came to the apostles and the apostles replied them in verse 2. It's not good or reason, Acts 6:2, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Choose among yourselves 7 men of honest report. Now, honest report means that they have a good report. That is, we can speak well of them. You know, if somebody says, I'm a man of integrity, we say that's good. It could be a confession. It could also be lamba. But it is us that will say that man has integrity by the things that you are doing. So they said of honest report, which means that honest report is something we are going to say. Then, and we are going to see. Then he said, filled with the Holy Ghost, which means we can know people in church who are full of the Holy Ghost. And it's not what happens in the Holy Ghost meeting. We can know people who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. It's something we will see. We are the ones that will say, that man is full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. So it's something people will see. It's a characteristic. Being full of the Spirit. Now in verse 5 again, it says, Stephen, a man full of faith. A man is a description. Full of faith. It's not a confession. It's a description. In verse 8 again, he said, Stephen, a man full of grace and power. Now, interesting, let me mention this quickly. In the book of Acts, that word is pleris, overwhelming, overwhelming attribute. Full. So we find to choose people, for example, in the work of the ministry, we must see that they have been consistent in yielding to the Holy Ghost. So, full of the Spirit. Stephen, verse 5. In case you missed verse 3, he repeated it in verse 5. In case you missed verse 5, because you went to watch a game at Stamford Bridge, in verse 8, he repeats it again. So, I mean, by the third time, even if you're in the championship, you should have known it by now. That's the only illustration that comes to my heart anytime I'm saying anything in the Word of God. It shows you the thing is the Word of God. Amen. Now, if you go further, in the book of Acts, you will also see, notice that we saw the Holy Ghost come on people. Acts 1:8. The Holy Ghost came on them in Acts 8:14 and 15. When Philip went to Samaria to preach Christ, Acts 8:5. And then he told Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had received the word of the Lord. Acts 8:14. So Peter and John came down so that they might pray for them and they might receive the Holy Ghost. So they received the Holy Ghost in the sense of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:4 and 5. Now, when that happened, there was a man who just came around, who also, he had believed, Simon the sorcerer. He saw, Acts 8:17 and 18, he saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given. So he saw something. He saw it. He saw through laying on of hands that the Holy Ghost was given. Like a friend would say, you don't see tongues. So there was much more than tongues. Then he asked, told the apostles, he asked them, give me this power, that whoever I lay my hands upon will receive the Holy Ghost. Then Peter replied him and said, your money perish with you, two of you will perish together. For thou art taught the gift of God shall be with money. He says that your heart is not right, you know. You have no part nor lot in this matter. So there was the first instance where the Holy Ghost will come on someone and you speak in tongues. But that's not what Peter is. I mean, Luke is saying here. It's not that first, I spoke in tongues. Even though you agree with the Holy Ghost, there's a continual lifestyle with it. Such that we will now know you as a brother or sister who is full of the Spirit. Let me see what I'm saying here. Are you following me? Good. Now, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, a man also was going to be described. The man Barnabas. He said he's a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. He's full of faith. That means we can describe him like that. In Acts 13, verse 9, he says, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, lifted his eyes. Then he was speaking to that bad Jesus man, Elymas, a sorcerer. And he said, in Acts 13 and 52, Acts 13 and 52, he says, they were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. So being filled is not a one-time event. It's not even a church thing. Even though we must have it in church. It's something I must carry through my day. People will see it if you are filled with something. If you are filled with it. Such that in the epistles now, Paul writing to the church, Ephesians 5:18. Don't forget that Paul, you know, passing through the coast of Ephesus, saw 7 disciples, Acts 19:1. Then he asked them, verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost you should believe? They said, we have not heard. Verse 3, where there be any Holy Ghost? Say, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said to them, preach to the people that should receive, believe on him that should come after, and that's on Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, when they heard that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then verse 6, Acts 19, Paul now went ahead and laid hands on them. And Luke says, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, we've seen Acts 8:14 and 15, the Holy Ghost came on them. Acts 2:1-4, the Holy Ghost came on them. Acts 10:44, as Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. So we have that first time when, you know, hands are laid on you. We do it this morning. We have people like that who are yet to be filled with the Spirit in that sense. If they don't speak in other tongues, we lay hands on them. I got filled with the Holy Ghost 15 minutes after I got born again. I keep saying that if they had allowed me to wait one day, I would never have. Because the people that got me filled with the Holy Ghost did not know what was happening. When I asked them, what's the language you are speaking? They said, it's to confuse the devil. But I wanted to tell them that, okay, do you know what you are saying? They did not know. Did I know? No, I didn't know. So, who is really the devil that is confused? I think it's all of us. Because we did not know what it was. So, it's good to have some of those insights to understand what it is. Okay, now that we speak in tongues, Satan is confused. Deliverance is starting. Amen. So, That means the Holy Ghost came on the church, the guys in Ephesus. Yet Paul will write them, be not drunk, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled. Now, the Greek of that is be being filled continually. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, if being filled is an instruction, that means it is our initiative. If I can instruct you, it's like saying, walk in love. Say, well, let God manifest himself. You don't want to walk in love. If I say, pray always, I say, if it's the will of God, I'll pray. You don't want to pray. Because the instruction is be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So one thing is clear. There is a life called being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is a life of a believer. And a church can be known. You see, a church can have a characteristic. We can, and it's also a, it depends on what the church is really taught. A church can be very generous. Based on what is taught. A church can also be very stingy. Extremely stingy. And they can be prayerful. Very prayerful. When let us pray, they will speak in tongues loud. Let us give. Let's give, and they'll be stingy. So it's really what is taught. For people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it means that the things of the Spirit were taught. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, the word gift is italicized, the word pneumaticus. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Which means that it was taught. For Paul to give instructions concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Let me say something quickly. That 1 Corinthians 12, it wasn't the information about the gifts of the Spirit. Rather, it was a correction. It was a church. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul said they came behind in no gift. So it wasn't a church that were just learning it from the scratch. No. It was rather giving them, you guys have gone like this, rather like this. So it was correcting them. So when Paul says be filled with the Spirit, it means therefore that it's meant to be the characteristic of the church. We can be filled with generous people. We can be filled with people that are given to the work of the ministry. A church can also be filled with people that are greedy. It's the same thing. Filled. It will be seen in their prayer points. It will be seen in what they, it will be seen. I mean, there was a time like that, that the richest man in the world, then Bill Gates, came to Nigeria. And he had dinner. And with some people in one of the hotels in Lagos. When they left, some believers, I'm saying believers, went there to touch his seat and say, I connect with this. Now, they are filled. No, it's the truth. It must be something they have been hearing. That you connect it. So they were connecting. Putting their hands on, I know they are still poor. Poor in their minds, majorly. So really, being filled is really a characteristic. So which means that we must be on the lookout for how to be filled or what it means to be filled. It's not something you alone would I know I am filled. It's something we'll see. Now, number one, I'll take the other ones in the second service. Number one that is prominent. Number one is when you are filled with the Spirit, there will be supernatural utterances. Not just tongues. Tongues is a key part of it. When you are filled with the Spirit, there will be supernatural utterances. Luke 1:40 and 41. Elizabeth. Luke 1:67 and 68. We also saw it in Zechariah. Luke 4:1, definitely Jesus. I even skipped some other texts. I don't know why I skipped them. Acts 7:55. He says, Philip, filled with the Spirit, looked up to the heavens and said. So something else was added there. Supernatural visions. Supernatural sights. Acts 7:55 and 56. Acts 9:15 and 16. Paul himself was filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul himself, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, so one thing that marks out a fellow who is filled with the Holy Ghost in Power City, in Saints Community Church, anywhere that we fellowship, is that we will see the person given to supernatural utterances. Supernatural. It's not somebody that talks a lot. Some people talk a lot. They can talk and talk. They can gist and gist about Nigeria, about politics, football, soccer. They can talk about different things. But when we say, now, brethren, let's just edify ourselves. They're just looking like dodo. That oratory will just escape them. Because this one is not about oratory. It's about supernatural utterances. Which will contain something. Something that will edify the saints. Something that would build people up and meet needs. So, when a man is filled with the Spirit, who will know? Who will know? If we are talking, it's a brother and a sister that, when you are around them, you are just stirred to serve God. You are just stirred. Some people have a bad influence. When they are around you, you think serving God is a curse. By the time they talk, they say, so you are still in this thing. They'll talk like that and say, what do you mean? You are still all over this thing. Look, have something good to do with your life. He's born again, but he's not filled with the Spirit. When a man is filled with the Spirit, it's infectious. Being filled with the Spirit will affect those around you. It will affect those around you. That is why the primary way is by speaking. If there's something, write this down, that is the greatest influence in the world today, words. Words are the greatest influences in the world today. Every picture in your mind today on anything, about what you are wearing, what you want to wear, where you want to go, they will come to you in words first. Somebody said something. You said something. You read something. Words are the greatest influences in the earth. If God is going to fill the earth with His glory, if God will, it will be primarily by our speaking. By the things that we are saying. In Psalm 29 verse 9, talking about the temple of God, He said, in His temple, they say glory. That was why when they dedicated the temple, what did the priests say consistently? They raised their hands. For the Lord is good, and His mercies endures forever. So words are a primary way to influence. They will know at your office if you are filled with the Spirit. They will know. Your children will know. Your spouse will know. You know, you can also be filled with rage. Anytime you come, anything you just say, some people are just angry by inspiration. You know that some believers are that they hardly laugh. See, it's demonic. I'm not joking. It's demonic. Why would a Christian be joyless? No. It's too wrong. They know you're just a strict person. Yeah, you know, you do this, oh God. The man that carried the sin of the world on himself laughed. Jesus. He laughed. He rejoiced. He jumped up. He ran. Hallelujah. So you're on. Why are you frowning? Everything is just bad. You are just carnal. When Jesus was rejoicing, was everything good? You are just a carnal Christian. Simple. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you are home. You don't. Nobody's around you and they are laughing. Not on cruel jokes. So they're just full of joy. They're just like, and you can say, wow, they're acting like everything is fine. Well, everything is fine because I'm born again. Hallelujah. So it's not just speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, yeah, is that supernatural utterance we're given by God's Spirit. But it comes out by interpretation. The interpretation of the tongues we speak is in the words we say to people. Every day in the church. The kind of things that come out of our mouth. You know, we are filled with the Spirit. We would know by speaking. By speaking. Tongues is one of such. Speaking with tongues. The Brother Hagin will say it's the primary evidence, not the only one, of the Spirit-filled life to speak in other tongues. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:18. If you don't know what Paul will say all the time, he said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. That means collectively, all of you join together. When it comes to tongues, when I'm driving, I'm speaking. When I'm being driven, I'm speaking. When I'm in church, I'm speaking. When I'm out church, I'm speaking. So, which means that I can get myself full of the Holy Ghost. If I don't know what to say at all, I can start out with tongues. Hallelujah. And speak with tongues a lot. A Christian should just shut himself in one day and say, I just want to spend the whole of today speaking in other tongues. I'll just spend time speaking in other tongues. You are not looking at a wristwatch. You are just spending quality time. I dare say, a Christian should not know how many hours he speaks in tongues in a day. It should be just a part of you. Some believers, the only time they speak with tongues is when they are in church. Afterwards, they are cursing at the car park, not you. Speaking with tongues all the time. Speak with tongues all the time. What else? I can sing in tongues all the time. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Paul says, in 14, if I speak with tongues, he said, my spirit prayers, my understanding is unfulfilled. How is it then? I will pray with tongues, I'll speak with tongues. I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with tongues, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else. How shall one who occupies his unlearned sit on the learned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you say? He said, thou, verse 17, verily give thanks well, for the other is not edified. Then Paul says, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. So I can sing a lot in tongues. Particularly those of us that cannot qualify to hold the mic and lead us in songs. Where your voice is like the voice of the sound of many waters. You can only bless the Lord alone. You can't bless us like that. The kind of way people are singing key C, you just go to key Z. You say, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Brethren, God accepted like that. Amen. Hallelujah. But we will look at you. Amen. So, but you can sing in tongues a lot. What is singing in tongues? It just means that you should sing. It can be any melody, but with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but to God. You know, for no man understands. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So I can decide to just sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. So what is the first characteristic we see when it comes to being filled with the Spirit? Speaking. Speaking. Supernatural utterances, which can be primarily evidenced with tongues. Speaking. 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 It also includes singing with tongues. It also includes prophesying. So prophesy. Prophesy simply means to say in a known language what you said in tongues. That's interpretation. To bless the church. Hallelujah. Want to get filled with the Holy Ghost this morning? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Now, what's the primary way? By speaking. Now, can I be filled by myself? Can I decide to be filled with the Spirit? What would I do? So let's stand. Hallelujah. And be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is not just what we are going to do today. It's what we'll do when we leave the service. It's what we'll do, you know, during the day. Let's just speak in other tongues.